Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report. And yay, lucky us, we have Frontier Extension District Agriculture and Natural Resources Agent specializing in livestock, Rod Schaub. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning, Audrey.
Thank you for joining us today.
You bet. No problem.
You say we're going to be talking about livestock watering systems, and I need to know, what did your cows think about the eclipse this week?
I was at work. I can't tell you.
You didn't come home and they were all freaked out in the barn or anything?
They seemed to be doing just fine. They were out in the pasture grazing, or out on the rye grazing.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So, not a bad deal.
Well, let's talk about livestock watering systems. But to start, let's talk a little bit about the cost to care for livestock. So what's the most expensive part of a cow herd budget? What do you think?
If it's not buying all the giant bales of hay, I would guess probably the vaccinations and stuff.
Feed.
Ah, okay.
You are actually right. So feed is the biggest part of the budget. It costs, according to K-State's economists, somewhere around $500 a cow per year for pasture and purchased feed. And that's about 50% of what it costs to have a cow for a year, to keep a cow for a year.
Cheaper than the drive-through.
So, what do you suppose is the most limiting nutrient in a cow's diet? Nope. Wait a minute. Let me back up and let's say, do you know what the nutrients needed are? And I'll give you those. There are vitamins, there's minerals, there's protein, there's carbohydrates, which are fats and starches, which is the energy side, and of course, water. So which is the most limiting nutrient generally?
The most limiting? As far as
what they need.
Oh, what they need the most?
What their needs are.
You can get by with a lot of stuff and still end up with scurvy, but I'm going to say water.
Well, the most limiting nutrient in most diets is typically either crude protein or carbohydrates.
Well, I was going off our topic for today.
It
was a trick question.
And so, which nutrient costs the most? Generally, again, it's carbohydrates or protein, depending on what else they're eating, okay? Mm-hmm. How you're trying to manage their diet. Which nutrient is needed in the largest quantity? Think about pounds.
Is it going to be the water this time?
It is water this time. So think about that. In the middle of the wintertime, a cow's going to need about 10 gallons of water, okay? In the summertime, that same cow's going to need about 20 gallons of water a day.
That's per day.
Per day. And a milk cow, if you had milk cows, they might need 30 gallons of water a day in the summertime. So water is what's needed in the largest quantity, you know. And water's also the nutrient that has the biggest impact on health and on performance of livestock. Now we're going to talk about the water side of things. So across Kansas, most livestock producers rely heavily on surface water or ponds as a watering source for their livestock. The problem is, in most instances, the producers choose to allow the livestock access to the pond that's not restricted. In other words, they don't have a fence around it. They don't have anything limiting access to the ponds. And recently, that's become really, really important, really, really costly. Think about a pond and what it costs. First, you have to have the land, so there's a land cost. There is the cost of constructing a pond, and then there's the cost every 10 to 20 years you're going to have to clean that pond out, so you have pond clean out. So these are all costly things. In addition to the cost, there are other costs associated to letting livestock drink from a pond that's unrestricted, okay? They have the risk of falling through the ice in the wintertime. They have the risk of getting stuck in the mud when it's been droughty and dry. There's also health-related risk like foot rot and other diseases that are transmitted in wet environments. And, of course, there's another one that's blue-green algae. So So ponds have a big cost to them, and there's some risk involved. But fencing can make a big difference. If you fence the livestock out of these ponds, it reduces many of those risks we just talked about. It can improve the quality of the water, the reliability of the water, and the quantity of water that's available. And you guys, you don't have to fence your ponds with five-wire barbed wire fence. That's very costly. It's hard to put in because there's a lot of short runs. You know, a good high-tensile electric fence is often more than adequate, I guess I would say, and cheaper and easier to build than that five-wire barbed wire fence. So that's a place that you can use electric fence. Now, ideally, ponds are centrally located in grazing areas, and hopefully they have an elevation that behind the pond, there's enough elevation that we can put a water behind there. So when you're building a pond, we want to remember to think about installing a 2-inch PVC pipe through the pond dam. That's going to make it much easier for us to be able to hook up a water after the fact. Or if we're cleaning out an existing pond, let's put that pipeline through. That'll make it easier if we decide that that's what we want to do. And even if you cleaned out a pond 2 or 3 years ago, you thought, oh, I forgot to put that water line in. It's something we can do now and not lose the water that's in the pond. There's ways they've came up with ways that we can do that without losing any water. Okay, so it's not a done deal if you forgot it. Okay, so but if you got this done, we've got the 2-inch water line through. The next thing we need to do is think about selecting the size and the type of water that we want to install. So when you do that, you need to ask yourself some questions. Will the water be used during the summer, during the winter, or at both? Okay. How much pressure do you have? That means from the top, from the water level to the pond, because that's going to influence the refill rate because of the pressure. You need to think about the number of head of livestock that will use the water and what will happen if the tank doesn't have use during the water or during the winter when it freezes. What is that going to be an issue? So we need to think about that. We also need to think about from time to time, we're periodically going to have to drain and clean that tank. So what's that going to do? Is that going to take a lot of time? That kind of thing. Those are things we need to think about. So in many instances, producers that have ponds, they choose to use concrete waters behind the dam. These tend to be easier to keep them from freezing in the wintertime. And the reason that is because the main part of the tank, the bulk of the 100 or 200 gallons, is covered in dirt. So there's a dirt layer around it that actually, you know, helps insulate that tank. And then the portion that the cattle drink from, it has a small valve with a small piece of like 16th of an inch pipe that you can let just a little trickle out. And that's stirs the water in the drinking bowl, keeps it from freezing up, and yes, then it will eventually overflow. It goes into an overflow that goes out and goes back to where the spillway is in the pond. And so, you know, if you're interested in livestock watering systems, K-State has recently printed a new Waters and Watering System Handbook for livestock producers and landowners. And the book discusses water sources like ponds and streams and springs and wells and using rural water. It also talks about various pumping methods and storage tanks. It talks about tire tanks, concrete waters, limited access points, etc. Many, many other things are also highlighted, as well as how do I determine the amount of water my livestock's going to need, how to calculate the pipeline size that I need I make sure I get the gravity flow that I need. It's also going to talk about tank capacity and wet well capacity. So if you're interested in livestock watering, this is a great new book that's come out. Give me a call at 785-828-4438 if you'd like to know more about this book or if you want to talk about that. And I can also show you or share with you where you can get a copy online. So until next time, stay safe.
Outstanding. Very cool. You drive by, you see the cows out in the pastures and stuff, and some of them are wandering into the pond, and I'm thinking, that's going to be a mess to clean up. What if they get stuck? So the fact that there are a number of systems available, good idea.
And they truly like, they would rather drink from that concrete water than they would from a pond. That's some one of the things that's been proven.
Well, so. Yeah, everybody likes clean water.
Yeah.
I've heard that even pigs would prefer having clean water to roll around in instead of a mud sty. So,
yeah.
Mud bath, whatever you want to call it. Okay, well, thank you for that. And I might want to have to look at that book myself. I don't raise anything except a ruckus, but I still want to know what's going on.
Sounds good.
Thanks for coming in today. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Adult Development and Aging and Family Resource Management Agent Janae McNally.